I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi guys, I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture. Very pleased to say I'm joined now by the legend that is Gary Lineker. Gary, how's it going, mate?
Hey, nice to see you.
Lovely to speak to you too. Now, of course, we are speaking because your new book, alongside Danny Baker, Behind Closed Doors, is out today. It is also a part of the number one podcast it's based on, of course. How did it all come about then, both the book and the podcast?
Well, obviously the book follows the podcast, so I'll tell the podcast story first. I've been kind of contemplating doing a podcast for some time with my production company, Goalhanger, and we were contemplating how to do it. And my partner asked me, so what kind of podcast you do? Who you want to do it with? And I don't know really. I don't really want to do it with, you know, sit down with like another footballer and evaluate the weekend's football. There are so many of those around, and by and large, they're pretty boring. So I said, I don't know. And he said, well, who would you do it with? I said, I don't know, someone like another broadcaster, someone who's interested in football, someone who makes me, who's a bit of fun. I don't know, someone like Danny Baker. And he went, well, that's a great idea, because obviously I like listening to Danny when he's radio shows, 606, etc., which I think he mentions occasionally. So I kind of direct messaged him. I didn't know Danny. I'd only met him a couple of times, so I direct messaged him on Twitter because we follow each other, and he didn't get back to me. He didn't get back to me about 5 or 6 days, And eventually he did respond, saying, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have a mobile phone. I thought, OK, he doesn't even have a mobile phone. Who doesn't have a mobile phone? Which was bizarre. And then we got together and came up with the idea, and we said, well, how are we going to do it? He said, well, let's just turn up and chat. And it went from there, and that's how it is. So obviously we've done a couple of seasons now. We're now in season 3, if you want to call it that. And it's just brought up so many stories, both for him, he's got incredible memory, and me, who I didn't think I had a memory at all. But it's amazing how many stories our questions and our chats and listening to him have triggered. And from that, we were approached to do a book, and here we are with the book, which is a kind of elongated version of the podcast. Stories are kind of properly told, and yeah, so that's how it transpired, really.
It's really intriguing to get that insight from you as a player. I was reading earlier on about your experiences at the 86 World Cup. Obviously, the most obvious thing to point out, that aside from the bit in the intro with the managerial team talk, which took a bit of a twist, let's just say this in the intro, is obviously the hand of God. And I was fascinated to find out that you didn't actually see it, obviously, because you were on the halfway line.
No, I didn't. Obviously, I didn't tend to get back anywhere near my own box, and that was absolutely unavoidable. But no, there were so many players in the way, but it was immediately obvious to me that there was something untoward, because, you know, we don't, as English players, we don't tend to react quite as mad as that. And you could see Terry Butcher and Pete Shilton were going bonkers. They clearly knew and clearly had a good vision, a good picture of it. So I knew straight away that it probably shouldn't have been awarded, even though I hadn't seen the incident myself. I looked at the lines, but I still, you know, it's funny enough, I'm always convinced that he'd spotted it, but bottled it. He recently apparently admitted that very fact that he did think he'd seen it. So, it was an extraordinary moment in an extraordinary game of football, with it, and obviously the goal that he scored after that was one of the greatest, if not the greatest goal certainly individual goal ever scored, when you take into consideration the importance of the fixture being the quarter final, etc.
I'm still stunned that one of your teammates decided to swap shirts with him at full time.
Yeah, well, Steve Hodge. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, Hodge is probably a bit like me in the sense that he's you know, he's not one of those people that bears a grudge. But I mean, right at the end of the game, not even I don't think would have wanted to swap shirts. But it was probably a good move. You know, it's probably worth a few bob, that shirt.
Certainly is. So you mentioned there, it's, you know, Maradona's second goal there, which you talk about in the book being even more impressive considering the state of the pitch. What's the goal that will live with you forever that you've seen, whether that be whilst you're on the pitch or whilst you've been presenting it again? What is that one goal that stands out that you just can easily replay in your mind?
Well, I mean, obviously that one. I mean, that was extraordinary. It was on the, you know, on a cabbage patch of a pitch, but. Having been in the ground and seen other, I've seen lots of obviously great goals. Gazza against Scotland, of course, in 96. That was incredible. But even Messi's last year, you know, it was his 600th goal against Liverpool when he bent it in the top corner. Or was that 700? 600th might have been against Real Madrid when he scored in the last minute. That was something special as well. So, you know, obviously he's a player I massively admire. The best player I've ever seen, I think. So, you know, I've seen, you know, I was there when Gareth Bale's overhead kick in the final of the Champions League, you know, 2 or 3 years ago. And that was, I mean, what a goal that was. So, you know, football does deliver incredible moments. Even go back to last season, Lucas Moura in the 95th minute against Ajax. That was just, you know, it wasn't, you know, the greatest of all goals, but it was just such a sensational moment. The way that they came back in that particular game to turn it round. So football does deliver magical goals and magical moments.
Now, you were a prolific frontman in your day, of course. You've mentioned Maradona, Messi. If you could play alongside any other frontman in your heyday, who would you pick?
Oh, Messi all day long. To be perfectly honest, I never thought in my lifetime that I would see a player that even compares with Diego Maradona. I'm not quite old enough to have seen enough of Pelé. But I saw a lot of Diego, and he was just an unbelievable footballer. But for me, he is slightly usurped by Messi. Messi's numbers alone are absolutely ludicrous in terms of the amount of goals he scored. You know, he scores pretty much a goal a game. Diego was goal every other game. His assist record is unbelievable. He's as good a passer as I've ever seen. Maradona was a great passer as well. He's as good a dribbler as I've ever seen. So he kind of, you know, people talk about Ronaldo, and I get that. Ronaldo's a phenomenal goal-scoring machine. You can certainly compare them in terms of goal-scoring, but in terms of playing the game, of bringing joy to you watching football, for me, Messi is incomparable.
Now, I saw you tweeting the other day about Harry Kane, of course, doing very, very well for England and for Tottenham at the moment. Do you think he could be the person to break that 50-goal mark for England?
Oh, I think so. I think I was talking about this the other day. I think we talked about it in the podcast this week or last week about the fact that I think, you know, I scored 48 goals for England and obviously Rooney scored 50. I think in 10, 20 years' time, I think 48 goals won't be particularly special in any way. I think that, you know, you've got to remember now that I'm not saying this because in my day it was a lot harder, but in my day it was a lot harder. You used to, you know, the breakup of the old Soviet Union, for example, you've now got like loads of small nations to play against. The breakup of the old Yugoslavia, there's five or six different countries involved there. You now play, there's Gibraltar, there's Andorra, there's Liechtenstein, there's all these tiny countries that you play, and you end up in the group stages of both the World Cup and the European Championships are fairly easy generally. You might get one tough team if you're unlucky in the draw. But by and large, you're going to play fixtures where you're going to bang a load of goals in. And we didn't have that. You know, we played against Russia. We played against Yugoslavia. Probably the easiest game back then. You people would say, yeah, but you played against Turkey. Turkey, you know, that's a pretty strong nation in terms of football. So I think I think the figures of the goal scoring figures have changed in recent times in international football, and that's because of the nature of the qualification campaigns. Certainly in Europe, it probably doesn't quite apply to South American football because they've always played their qualifiers against the same country.
Mm.
So what I'm talking about is European qualifiers. You're going to see players score way more goals because they're playing against inferior opposition. I look back at my career and it was like three, four games against Italy, three or four games against Brazil, three games against Argentina, four games against Germany. It's different. I'm not trying to big myself up. I'm just trying to say, answer your question in the sense that the 50 barrier will be broken much more frequently. And I think if Harry Kane stays fit, it'll go way past Wayne Rooney. I really do.
I saw your chat with Marcus Rashford recently about the state of pitches, which is very entertaining. They're very much a back in my day chat.
The one thing I'm envious about the modern game, not the money or anything like that, because we don't play for that. You play for the joy, and obviously the money comes alongside it. But playing on those beautiful pitches, it'd be such a delight. Mm. It'd just be so much easier as a forward when your ball's pinged into you. It's not bobbling all over the place.
Mm. Now, sticking with England, obviously we had a sensational summer last year. And I was chatting to my dad about this, and he said something that really resonated with me about England winning a World Cup in my lifetime. Do you think that is feasible for us?
Oh, very much so. I think we've got a real chance now. We've changed the development of our youth football in this country kind of 8-10 years ago, and we're now starting to see the effects of that, you know, letting young players play on small-sided pitches rather than big pitches like they did, you know, 10 years ago. And so we're now starting to see players come through with high technical ability, which we never had before. You get the odd one, but they came through in spite of the system, not because of the system. But now, if you look at, we have had a lot of success in World Cups under 20, under 21, under 17s, etc. And those players are now starting to break through into the first teams of the Premier League. And there's some, and also one or two players playing abroad as well. Yeah, so Jadon Sancho, etc. So I think it's an exciting time. The Euros next year might come a tad early,
mm-hmm.
But I think looking ahead to say Qatar, I think will be a real force to be reckoned with. You always need a bit of luck to win a major championship. We've not always had that, but if we can get the odd break, I think we've got a nucleus of unbelievably talented young players that will make us one of the favourites.
Mm. And we shouldn't fear penalties anymore. Final quick few questions, Gary. Do you play fantasy football?
No, all my kids do and they're obsessed by it. And it seems to really affect their lives. So I think I'll avoid it at all costs.
I was going to say, I wondered if it clouded your judgment on Match of the Day. By any stretch of the
imagination. It might do if I did it.
Yeah.
Our editor on Match of the Day, he does fantasy football and he gets himself quite worked up about it, but he says he does this for professional purposes, and it keeps him, you know, keeps him, does his homework on the players far more frequently. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
What is the one rule you'd change in the modern game?
I'd get rid of this new handball law that they brought in, that's stopping so many good goals being scored, like Gareth Bale's last night. You know, I'd take it back to the old. It's either deliberate or it's not. So that's one straight off the top of my head.
Yeah, unquestionably. I saw your response to that last night. It was ridiculous that was given as a handball. Favourite teammate that you've played alongside?
I'd probably go selfishly and go for Peter Beardsley, because we had such an incredible partnership together that, you know, it just worked. And he kind of left the area to me. He wasn't a penalty box player. He was brilliantly creative individual outside it. So I'd say Peter Beardsley.
This might be harder. Favourite pundit to work with?
Well, I think it's a bit, you know, I have to work with them each week, so I don't really want to pull one out to upset other people. But, you know, obviously I work with, you know, great. I mean, Rio's brilliant on BT, Alan Shearer and you know, Ian Wright together. We always have a lot of fun. So, you know, the thing is, there's a lot of really good pundits now that, you know, you can't just get away with it these days. You have to do research, and they all do, and they work really hard at it. I think the levels of punditry in our country are really good there.
Yeah, unquestionably. I enjoyed your Twitter response to the Shearer versus Owen thing that we had the other week.
Oh, that was a bit of fun, wasn't it?
Yeah. Right, final question, Gary. This is going to be a tough one, and I can relate to this. You are obviously a Leicester fan. I'm a Chesterfield fan. Yeah. Any form of victory is a blessing. But I'm going to put this to you. Leicester win the Premier League again, but in exchange for that, Piers Morgan is Prime Minister. Do you take it?
Definitely, yeah. I think Piers would be a really good Prime Minister.
Yes, Gary, it's been an absolute honour to chat to you. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat to us today. Check out Gary's podcast with Danny Baker, Behind Closed Doors, and go out and get the book, which it is based on right now. Gary, thank you so much for chatting to us.
Absolute pleasure. Cheers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.